Yes, hello and welcome along to the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast on this Friday. David Short and Taylor Courtland with you. TC, I'm not sure about the lady, but I'm pretty sure I heard the Jamaican sensation Sean Paul in the backdrop there.
Yes, well, that song was released, I think, around 2015. So anything with sort of a 2010 around it, Sean Paul would have been in it.
Indeed, yeah.
He was a busy man in that period.
Wasn't he just collaborating right, left and centre and counting the money? God bless him. He's done well out of the caper, Sean Paul, for a man that hasn't really ever had a lot of his own solo action. He's just teamed up with the right people at the right time, TC. It's all about surrounding yourself with good people, they say.
Exactly right. You need to jump on the right coattails, and sometimes he doesn't even sing. I like his interpretation of just random noises at times in a song.
Just rolls in, yeah, gives him his 5 cents worth and then asks for the commission check. When's it coming through? Ring my agent.
Well, that's certainly more than 5 cents, that one.
Oh, yes, commission check. Nice work if you can get it, TC. Great to be catching up with you again. Of course, last week, Diggers joined us for the AFL Grand Final preview, and what a dominant performance it was by Melbourne. I tip my hat to you. You were very, very keen on the prospects of Melbourne. To be fair, probably a couple of months out, you started discussing that their brand of football was going to stand up to finals. Just before three-quarter time, when the Doggies were up by 19 points about midway through that third, I thought they were probably one goal away from just taking it away, and then before you knew it, it was just an avalanche. Melbourne were just dynamite, and all credit to them. It's a club that's been battling for many decades. A lot of long-suffering D's fans out there, like our great mate Racetrack Ralphie, who joins us on the Aftermath each and every Sunday morning. And to people like that have put a lifetime into a club and never seen them win a flag, it was really, really special. And it's great to see that you're not just gifted a grand final because you haven't won one for a long time, but it is nice when the little element of fairy tale comes into play, and that was the case with Melbourne. They thoroughly deserved that premiership. And I just wanted to say what I've taken from the week is that all of WA deserve to be enormously proud of the job that we've done with the AFL grand final. I think we all are very aware that it was a once-in-a-lifetime situation that fell into our lap. From there, though, you've got to make it work and you've got to put on a quality show. You've got to be great hosts, and I thought we did an absolutely superb job. I was across hosting an event at Tab Touch Town across the bridge from Optus Stadium, and then sort of kicked on to Crown afterwards once I'd finished my work duties, and spoke to a stack of people that had been at the game, and everybody was just glowing in regards to the game itself, how it was managed, the entertainment. The game was obviously looked up at the scoreboard at the end of the game and went, gee, that was a drubbing. But because of the class and the quality of football that Melbourne played, it wasn't like a blowout where one side was just basically in a different league to the other and blew them off the park. It was just 40 minutes of the most powerful football I've ever seen. Just kept piling on goal after goal after goal. And it's a grand final I'll always remember, TC. My young fellow, he was there all revved up in the Western Bulldogs gear, and even he conceded at the end of the game that sometimes you've just got to give credit to a quality opponent, and Melbourne was certainly that.
Yeah, they certainly were that, Shorty. They did what they've done all season when the sort of momentum, and you did feel like the Bulldogs were just one goal away from almost just breaking it. Someone made the point on the Sports Daily during the week, Marcus Bontempelli's kick to the sealer in a grand final and lost by 100 points in the same game somehow. They were one kick away from almost putting the pin in Melbourne, but they were superb. They were able to wrestle back momentum, change the flow of that game and run away with it. And it sort of, what I learnt this week, speed in the AFL, both speed, foot speed along the ground to apply pressure, and something Melbourne did at a high level all year. Like Cozzy Pickett, I think he only had about 4 or 5 touches for the game, but just his speed up and around that forward line, the pressure, wasn't giving anyone any time to distribute the ball. And then also speed of ball movement, something else we spoke about on the podcast all year. Geelong, we thought they could win it, but we're still a little bit iffy with that game style they played. They don't move the ball quick enough to put defence is under enough pressure.
And both
and
of us
was probably West Coast as well.
Both of us raised the point in relation to Geelong that it's mystifying why they don't, because they've got a forward setup that would be so well served by quick ball movement. If you can get it down there quickly, and Hawkins is one out and Cameron is one out, and Rowan all of a sudden is left one-on-one with a third defender, and they've got guys like Myers and those sort of guys at ground level that can crumb and help out, surely they would be aided by a quick ball movement. But by the time they play that stagnant game and want to keep possession and hands on the ball, and the opposition defence floods, and then all of a sudden Cameron and Hawkins, your two biggest key advantages, are just surrounded by players and they don't get a decent run at it.
And that's not what Jeremy Cameron needs, is big contested grabs.
He needs a chance to just let me run up and go one-on-one with my opponent and I can get the job done. So maybe I'll be interested. Geelong are an interesting case study going into 2022.
Some of the re-signings have been puzzling.
You can guarantee that surely they'll be like, you just know that Scott's looking to reload and go again, because that keeps them competitive and that keeps them signing the contract for the next year. And you'd love to support Geelong. They're a side that are consistently deep into September and have been for close to a decade. Sure, you love to win premierships, but gosh, it's nice to know when the whips are cracking, you've still got a live ticket in the lottery and they're there and around the place. I would look to be getting some injection of zip through the middle of the ground if I'm there right now. I still think their spine's okay. I think their forward setup's dynamite. Still, Tommy's still got good football left in him. Jeremy Cameron's an outstanding player. They've got midfielders that can kick goals. Their back half is solid, but they need to find some leg speed through the middle of the ground to help those older players out a little bit. I don't know that it's out there.
No, and they're losing a player like Jordan Clark. If you believe everything you're reading, he has got a little bit of zip but can't seem to break into that side. So,
and the other one's Narkle. So I don't think I saw him play a bad game for Geelong at any stage throughout the course of the year, and yet he was first out nearly every time. But I see he's re-signed with them again. So interesting to see what happens in that space. Maybe he gets more opportunities next year. Time will tell. Looking forward to Cal Cup Day. TC, I must admit, I feel a bit empty when the round's on and I'm not in Kalgoorlie. It's one of my favourite times of year. I love the racing up there. I love the people, the vibe. It's an old-fashioned race round. So yeah, you go to the Calcutta and everyone goes to the same pubs and everyone's having a drink and a punt. They're my sort of people in Kalgoorlie. They really are, TC. I love that environment. Most of them like to stay up and have a drink till late, which I love, and then you back up and go again tomorrow, which is the right mentality to have. So to all of our friends tuned in up there on the gold fields, hope you had a Ripper Hannon's Handicap Day, and all the very best for Forex Gold Kalgoorlie Cup Day tomorrow. It promises to be a beauty. Some really good races throughout the course of the afternoon that we'll get into shortly as well. And I'm also looking forward to a couple of times a year, TC, I crank up the vocal cords and I am the ring announcer for a big boxing event in town called the Corporate Rumble. It's at Crown Towers on Saturday night. We've got the weigh-in tonight where all the boxers get weighed in. All the sponsors are a part of that. And then tomorrow night's the big one. There's 14 fights and then a DJ plays till late once the fights are done. Lots of money raised for charity and lots of people getting themselves in the shape of their life and then beating the crap out of each other. So that's always a lot of fun to watch ringside, and can't wait for that over the next couple of days.
You speak of those people in Kalgoorlie having a drink and a punt, tuning into the Sports Daily Friday morning. Yeah, good friend and original here on the Punter's Pal podcast, one of the founding members of the podcast, Giulio Santarelli. Oh. Sounds like he was fitting into that sort of category.
I think he might have had a little bit of Jack Daniels on top of the cereal. Oh, no. We jest.
He might have been a little bit more fired up if he had done that.
It was very raspy. He was very raspy this morning.
Good morning to you, Giulio.
No, we're just playing around. We love Jules.
Oh, I'm looking forward to one of these big-time clashes at Flemington. Flemington Group 1 racing on a Saturday. Doesn't get much better than that, Shorty. And the Turnbull Stakes is highlighted by two of the stars of the turf at the moment in Australian racing in Very Elegant and Incentivise, although we still don't know where Incentivise's ceiling is after that win in the Maccabi Diva. I think we can crown him a champion of Australian racing out of the current crop at the moment.
In the waiting, isn't it, really? Like, absolutely. What he did up in Queensland was just unbelievable. The winning margins were phenomenal, basically eased down. But I must admit to thinking, initially I was thinking, geez, they're big wins, but what's he beating up on? And then as the preparation got deeper and deeper and the grade of race got better and better, it was just the same result even further. And then the Tats Cup win was huge.
Well, I think that 12-length win was the biggest win in a group race in Australia for 40 years or something.
And it looked like, if the jock had got Dinkum, it could have dead set been 20. Mm-hmm. It was really dominant. And then Peter Moody takes over and you think, oh, there could be something here. I think it's going to be a bit better than your average pony. And then the performance in the Maccabi Diva was outstanding. And
really tough.
The boys, love it when the boys get the team from RaceNet on and have a chat on the program and break down the sectionals and the name of the fellow that joins the boys.
Adam Blanco.
So when he comes on with the guys, it's really interesting listening in relation to what benchmarks are and breaking down split by split within a race. And his praise for Incentivize after the most recent victory was as glowing as you would get from a man that is a very intelligent fellow when it comes to really working through what the clock has told you. And he has basically signed off on this horse being a legitimate star.
No, I'll back that up, Shorty. If there is one podcast or one time to tune into the Sports Daily, if you only have time to do it once a week, tune in from 6:30 on a Tuesday. The way Adam Blanco talks about racing is extremely intelligent, as you said, and very interesting, certainly. So looking forward to, clearly, Incentivize, it's his toughest test up against Very Elegant on her way to another Cox Plate. But boy, oh boy, looking forward to what he can do and what she brings to Melbourne. A little bit of weather around. It's sort of, will it hit Flemington, will it not? Sort of a soft five, good four range. I think we're looking at the track there, Flemington, on Saturday. Clearly, anything above a soft six would have been very much an advantage to Very Elegant. And then maybe, I think you've made the case as well, Colette comes into the conversation if that was the case, but it doesn't look like Colette will get the conditions that we see at her very best.
Indeed. She's worth keeping an eye on, though. If one of these big races pops up in the next month or so and the deluge arrives, make sure if the weather prediction is for plenty of rain, get in early because she absolutely jumps out of the ground. Welcome back to the Tap Touch Punters Pal podcast. David Short and Taylor Courtland with you on this Friday afternoon. Hope you're travelling particularly well. Let's get into the big nine race card up on the goldfields tomorrow and straight to the feature, the 4X Gold Kalgoorlie Cup. Over the 2,200 metres, the market as it sits right now with Tab Touch, the two at the top of betting have been well thought of by the punters. Media Baron, $4.20 on opening, crunched into $3.50 now. Sugarcane, $6 into $4.40. It's been a good go. Red Hot Tip, $4.60. As big as $5.50, back into $5. Bit of money for Living the Dream, $7 into $6.50. Bella's Idol, $8 to $8.50. Friar Fox has to contend with a big weight, but a very nice type and has got an excellent record up there on the gold fields. $7.50 out to $10. Stafford's Lad, $7 to $13. Missile Launch, $16 to $21. And Mexicola, $18 out to $31. TC, I'm sticking fat with Media Baron here. I think the market's got it pretty right. $4.20 into $3.50. When you sit and break it down, this horse's performance in the Boulder Cup was outstanding. Beaten only 0.6 of a length. Was held up for clear running on straightening and angled out. Bumped another runner at the 200. Then laid outwards passing the 150. There was plenty going on to halt the momentum of Media Baron and yet still only missed by a tick over half a length. I think that was outstanding. And when you break it down, a horse that's won $560,000 in prize money and comes into this race cherry ripe. I thought it looked to be a super, super chance. Respect for Sugarcane and Red Hot Tip. Certainly Red Hot Tip, listening to SJ Miller this morning on the Sports Daily, he is really happy with where he's got this horse. He made the point that it's been a while between wins for the horse, but that he doesn't think he's been in a better space physically for a long time, which is a really good push if you like that. Galloper, Sugarcane comes into this race as a horse that hadn't necessarily been a winning machine, but has now won two of her last three starts. And we know when mares hit form, they often stay in form, and the money's been strong to suggest that she could well be the big danger to Media Baron in the Kalgoorlie Cup tomorrow. But I'm sticking fat with Media Baron.
No, when you go through the form, Gorham Shorty, it looks like he's got the best form on the board. Media Baron certainly go back two starts ago in the final. He ruled a line through that. That was on a soft track. He doesn't like it soft. We won't be getting a soft track in Kalgoorlie. Very good in the Boulder Cup. A race like the Idyllic Prince, which he attacked first up, was only 2.5 lengths behind, too close to Sun. He's placed in a Railway Stakes. That's strong form. Sugarcane and Red Hot Tip, albeit in good form, will need to raise a couple of levels from what they've been racing in over the past couple of starts. So, no, with you there, just need a little bit of luck from gate three. Paul Harvey, Media Baron, the big grey, he'll be flashing down the outside late tomorrow.
Indeed, and what a mouth-watering prospect. Paul Harvey and William Pike potentially slugging it out over the concluding stages. The master from years gone by taking on the current superstar of WA racing in the saddle. It is absolutely superb to think that we could see these two absolute wonderful hoops going head and head over the concluding stages of the 4X Gold Kalgoorlie Cup at listed level over the 2,200 metres tomorrow. Other bets on the program for me, TC. I'm heading to race 5, number 2 in Star Align. This galloper's put together excellent record, track and trip, 4 starts, 3 wins and a placing, and overall just loves everything about Kalgoorlie. 12 starts at the circuit, 6 wins and 5 placings. Only once in 12 attempts hasn't finished top 3. Goes really well over the trip. 12 starts, 5 wins, 4 placings. Comes in off a nice win at its most recent performance. TC, you like one in this same race, and I thought these two really did stand out. I think it looks a wonderful Quinella. You can fill us in on who you like in this race.
Yeah, Clint Johnston Porter, Adam Durant. They'll be teaming up with Indigo Blue from gate 5. Does get 6 kilos off the favourite, although the form lines around Star Align now look very much enhanced with Start the Fryer winning the Hannons on Thursday. But Indigo Blue just afforded no luck whatsoever first up at Belmont over the 1,300 metres in a graduation race. Reliable Star got the sprint lane up along the fence. It did not go around a horse. Was too good on that occasion. 1.5 lengths behind Reliable Star was Indigo Blue, who tracked wide the entire. And as we know, over the last month or so, if you haven't been on the fence at Belmont, it's been very difficult to win outside of that. And then we go back last preparation. A few fourths littered through the form guide, including fourths to Magical Dream by less than a length. And then Billy Ain't Silly by about 3 lengths when having to carry 60 kilos on that occasion over the 1,400 metres. So second up for Adam Durant. CJP, along with William Pike, both in extremely good form. $3 just went for the little bit more value in a card, or on a card, should I say, that I found it difficult to find bets, but I was happy to stick with race 5, number 5, Indigo Blue.
And a really nice push, I thought, this morning from Adam Durant as well in regards to his thoughts on Indigo Blue heading in here. He was very positive in relation to what he thought she would produce tomorrow there in the Raglan Drilling Handicap over the 1,400 metres. So, yeah, I think great play. I think we can get involved. Trifecta's first four is banking up Star Align and Indigo Blue there in the fifth race on the program. My other bet is an each-way bet in race 6, number 8, Little Cess. Been going on Kalgoorlie Radio. The young fellow called Seb Clark, who was doing a lot of our social media stuff here on a Saturday. He's since got the Brekkie Show gig up on the Goldfields in Kalgoorlie and been doing a weekly spot with him, or fortnightly spot with him, just before there's the KBRC meetings, and found myself pretty deep in the form guide every couple of weeks looking through and trying to find a few winners. And I've had a bit of luck with Little Cess this preparation. Horse is going really, really well. She's a nice mare by Regano for Dave Smith, and heads into this race in really good nick. Was excellent in winning going back 3 starts ago. Then butted up and made it 2 on the bounce up to the mile off that 1,400 metre win. And then last time out, placed behind Pretty Fry, beaten less than half a length. Was a good performance, has the services of William Pike here. That wouldn't harm, I wouldn't have thought. Barry 11, a little bit sticky, but she's a mare that's racing really, really well just at the moment. Her confidence is high. Got the services of a great jockey. We're getting just under each way odds, and loves Kalgoorlie, much the same as we just discussed with Star Align. Little Cess, 6 starts at the track, 3 wins and 2 placings. So basically doesn't run bad races at the place, and we're getting almost each way to find out. That'll do me sort of a 4x6 style play on Little Cess, and that'll do me for race 6, number 8. In recap, race 5, number 2, Star Align. Take the Quinella with TC's on top of number 5, Indigo Blue. Race 6, number 8, Little Cess each way. And very keen in the cup, race 8, number 3, Media Baron. We swing across to Flemington, TC. Worth noting as well here tomorrow at Flemington, races 6, 7, 8 and 9, the quaddy, and there's a $125,000 carryover there. Cool. And also, do your early form tomorrow, punters. Races 1 through to 5, Randwick, Flemington and Kalgoorlie for Tab Touch account holders. Additional super picks, 15 separate races to get your Saturday off to a flyer. So be sure to use those to advantage, punters. And there might even be one or two of our selections that you can hopefully use your super picks to advantage. We'll go to the feature race of the afternoon, though, TC. The Group 1 Underwood Stakes should be an absolute beauty. The Group 1 Turnbull Stakes. And as you touched on at the top of the program, very elegant taking on Incentivise is a mouth-watering contest. The proven star of recent years, very elegant, takes on this emerging star in Incentivise. The whole Peter Moody angle adds a lot of theatre to this. He, with the deeds of Black Caviar, endeared himself to a lot of punters on the way through Peter Moody, and to see him back up and firing with a galloper of this note, I love seeing personally, and I think that he's going to have an awful lot of fun for the remainder of the spring. I don't know what to expect, to be honest. Because of that, we kind of know what we're going to get from Very Elegant, but I still don't know exactly how much more Incentivise has got left in the tank, and I'd love to see the two pair off at the furlong and just Let's see who's got more left in the tank. It'd be absolutely, potentially, one of the better finishes we've seen in a little while. As you touched on, Colette, had the rain arrived, I would have actually had something small to win Colette. She's actually lowered the colours of Very Elegant on a heavy circuit going back a season ago now. But without the rain, I'm more than happy to stick with Very Elegant and Incentivised to be running 1-2. And then Colette, Sir Dragonet, Persan's another that could be potentially finishing the race off with a bit of strength over the concluding stages, and even a horse like Young Werther. There have been some good raps on the way this horse has come back for this preparation as well, but it does look to all intents and purposes to be a race in two between Very Elegant and Incentivise. From a betting perspective to this point, the punters have teamed up with the proven champ Very Elegant, 260 into 235. There's just been that little drift for Incentivise, 260 out to 280.
Dean Lester made the good point on the Sports Daily about these horses that have been racing in Queensland, and you can typically get a spike out of them first up, and then how much is left in the tank. The point you did raise, Shorty, in regards to Incentivise, so interesting to see that. But from gate number 6, should be able to control the race. We'll get that advantage, but we've seen enough of Very Elegant to know that once she sees a winning post, when she turns for a home, she puts her head down and she fights like an absolute bulldog. So looking forward to the race. Fourth line of betting, we have a Cox Plate winner who's sort of been half overlooked in the race. So that sort of highlights the star factor that we've got with Very Elegant and Incentivise.
And was only beaten 0.4 of a length behind Incentivise in that Maccabi Diva. So it's not like he was in a different postcode, was, you know, very close up. And we know if Sir Dragonet can front up and run to that performance in the Cox Plate, then he could absolutely emerges as a knockout player in this particular event. But one of the absolute great races at the kickoff of the spring, that is for sure and certain, the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes. TC, do you like anything else on the program?
Starting in race number 5, Shorty, Ingratiating. We teamed up first up with this galloper in an impressive win, Vane Stakes, over the 1,100 metres at Caulfield. Ollie in the saddle there. Went to Flemington last start, also over the 1,100 metres in the Poseidon Stakes. Was run down by Ranch Hand. The Blinkers go on Saturday and gets a weight swing advantage on Ranch Hand. Gate number 10, typically the wider in the straight, the better. Hopefully that does play out that way on the day. Has had 9 starts and finished in the top 3 on 8 occasions. I think from memory, his 5th came in a Golden Slipper. So I ran 3rd in the Golden Slipper, excuse me. The 5th must have been in the Blue Diamond then. So his form reads extremely well. Puts in 100% every time he goes to the races, ingratiating. So track stats good, distance stats good. Gate 10, Damien Oliver, James Cummings, their time of the year, I think $3.80 and $1.50 the place. It'll be that $1.50 may feature in a few multis later on in the podcast, but the $3.80 the win. Happy to take the chance he can turn the tables on Ranch Hand down the Flemington Straight in race 5, ingratiating at the top of your race book.
Top 2, 7 of 9 TC, and worth noting, you will have heard us discuss horses for courses in the past, and Moonee Valley's one that I'm big on. Some horses love it, some horses just don't like it. It's very similar with straight racing. Some horses that aren't necessarily going great guns around the corner get the opportunity up the straight and grow a leg, and it's important if you're keen to have a proper bet on a horse that you know that they're comfortable up the straight. Some horses feel really vulnerable in straight racing. They get left really vulnerable in races, but without having cover, and others then get cluttered up and feel awkward and are looking for a corner that's not there. Others just take to it like a duck to water, and horse like ingratiating, you've just raised a really, really good point. Most importantly for the punters tune in that are looking for a bet, you know what you're going to get. That ingratiating's comfortable up the straight. 4 starts at the track, 2 and 2. 2 track and trip, 1 and 1. You've seen all you need to know. The other thing that ingratiating has over his opposition here is he's got $1 million in the bank, and he's been there and done it against the best in Australia for a full season of racing. A lot of these other horses are emerging, and Ranch Hand to me is the really interesting runner in this race because it is the galloper that was able to prevail over ingratiating last time out, and it spiked significantly. Now, here's a horse that's earned $800,000 less, but obviously has taken a while to get up and rolling and progressing within the campaign. And I think it's a great battle between these two horses. I'll be really interested to see if Ranch Hand can now butter up and go again. One thing with ingratiating, you know you'll get that consistent performance every time. Ranch Hand, that was a run last time out first up. Can it butter up second up where it's only been placed 1 of 2? And lower the colours of ingratiating again, time will tell.
Fingers crossed he runs a nice second, Shorty. I think we're teaming up, though, in race number 8 as well. And speaking of knowing what you're going to get, hopefully we get the same as what a maid produced in his second up performance last preparation, because he went to Flemington over 2,600 on that occasion and was dominant, winning by almost 2 lengths in an open quality event. Steps up a little bit in grade. Group 3 gets a ticket into the Melbourne Cup over the 2,500. The distance looks perfect. Track looks perfect. Needs a little bit of luck from gate 10. Looks a touch sticky from there, but we're getting double figures to find out about another horse, similar to Ranch Hand in the aspect that he is still up and coming despite having 16 starts. Most of those starts have been overseas, acclimatising to Australian conditions. I think we'll be getting a good run for our money at double figures. We're almost getting $4 a place currently at $3.50. Race 8, number 5, a maid for Philip Stokes, looks a stayer on the up and may even feature prominently at the top end at a race that's run at the same track but over just a little bit further.
Correct. And it's worth noting that this horse has excelled second up in the past. 4 starts second up, 2 wins and 2 seconds, so generally can really come off a first up run and hit the go button big time. The Naturalism, that was a really good race. Extra distance, ideal. Second up with that fitness should improve. Was only beaten 4 lengths behind Nonconformist. I thought it was a nice return. Second up, those time to strike, and we're getting a lovely price to find out. $11 the win, $3.50 the place. yeah, that'll do me, TC, more than happy. Don't have to have too much on to find out tomorrow. A horse that's got that gun second up card and is one for one at the track. Ticks a lot of boxes. Race 8, number 5, a maid. 11, Nicker. Let's get into my other play of the day, or there's two of them for me. Race 2, number 7, Hototsu. This galloper is certainly off that return performance at Donald, going places, had restricted room from the 300 to the 100, going back to the VRC size at Group 2 level. On that occasion, was beaten 3.5 behind Lightsaber. Could be argued if it had sort of seen a little bit of daylight, would have been a fair bit closer. And then, yeah, it was just different gravy to the opposition that it raced against last time there at Donald. Gunstock is absolutely a threat in this race. This is another untapped youngster having just its third start. Last time out, similar to Hototsu, went for the easy kill there at Cranbourne and got the job done. Fought off the rivals really nicely. Looks to have plenty of ability. They look the two key prospects. They're at the head of the market. It's another race. I'll be backing Hototsu, and I'll be taking the 7-8, 7-8 field, 7-8 field, 7-8 as my saver play on the race. I've got enormous respect for Gunstock, but at the better odds, Hototsu, $1.80 the place, $4.40 the win. It's a nice little play. You know, money back second, with the additional super pick early on in the program, TC. Nice little bit of insurance for us with Hototsu at the $4.40 there. And race 4, number 1, this is another race that features in the additional super pick category, Zootori. Luke Curry takes the ride here. Second up for the preparation. This horse has got a good second up card. 7 starts, 3 wins, 2 placings. Returned in the Bobby Lewis last time out behind Splintex, beaten less than a length. It's got 4th next to its name. Gee, there were some good horses around Zootori on that occasion. And this is another galloper. Love seeing this. Track and trip, 10 starts, 4 wins, 2 placings. So really good hit rate when he goes up the straight, Zootori at Flemington. These horses are the ones we look out for. 1.85 already banked. Really nice 6-year-old son of Zoostar. And earlier this morning when the boys...
Speaking of good pushes.
This was a lovely, lovely nudge in the right direction from Simon Zara. He just said, couldn't have been happier with what was done from a work perspective with Zootori. The winter coat has now come through and he's shining up, looking $1 million and ready to roll second up. So I thought that was an excellent push. I'm happy to join the party. Race 4, number 1, Zootori, $3.50, the win, $1.40. In recap, Flemington. I'm rolling race 2, number 7, Hototsu. Race 4, number 1, Zootori. Race 8, number 5, a maid, TC. Race 5, number 1, Ingratiating. And it's a Shazam at the double figure odds with race 8, number 5, a maid. Racing at Randwick tomorrow. 2 Group 1s on the program there, TC.
3 Group 1s.
3, pardon me. I missed that early. What's it, race 6, the first one there?
Race 7, the Flight, the Epsom and the Metrop. Flight,
yes.
For the Premier and the Hill at Group 2 level. Oh, shorty.
What's it's, a festival. It's a festival. This bumper 10 race card. Let's start with the Group 1 Dali Flight Stakes. This was the one that was under my guard there. Fluctuation wise for the punters. And we see Star Tonte 370 to 4. 4 moves ahead. 550 to 460. Mallory 650 into 480. Swift Witness 750 to 9. She's All Class 12 to 10. Fangirl 11 to 13. Von Trapp 17 to 14. A little bit of specking at longer odds. Likewise for Stray, 41 into 21. All other runners, $26 and upwards. The Group 1 Flight Stakes. I know you've been a fan of a couple of gallopers that feature in this particular event. 4 Moves Ahead has been one that you've tipped out a couple of times on this podcast. And Mallory is one that you've also been sticking with in recent times. Which way are you going here tomorrow in the flight?
I think the barrier's made the choice for me, Shorty. Gate 5 for Mallory looks to just map perfectly. And what we've learnt through this filly series is the horse that's got the best run typically has been the strongest late and has been difficult to beat. So I'm hoping that's Mallory there on the weekend. 4 Moves Ahead, impressive last start winner, but from gate number 13, Nashua Willer is going to have his work cut out from out there. Around that $5 mark, we're almost getting sort of $2 money back for a place if you like to bet each way with Mallory, just based on the fact that she's going to get a beautiful run in the race. That's the way I've lent. Race 7, number 2, Mallory. And we know what happens now. Four moves ahead, wins by 3.
Turns it up, turns the tables. On to the second of the group ones, the Tab Epsom over the mile. Riadini's pretty well backed here over the last few hours. So $4.40 out to $5 when we spoke earlier this morning. Now back into $4.60. Moonga $7.50 into $7. Hungry Heart $7.50 to $8.50. Ice Bath $9 to $9.50. Private Eye $8 to $9.50. Dallas Sands been backed at odds $17 into $12. Arameo $10 out to $13. A Tissue $17 into $15. Cascadian $18 and firm. Skylab $23 into $19. Discharge $31 into $26. Harmony Rose $26 and firm. Reloaded $41 into $31. Star of the Seas $26 out to $34. Lions Roar and Rock both at $71. And Ashman is a 100 to 1 outsider. Not the easiest race in the business to try and find the winner, it's fair to say. TC over the mile there at Randwick tomorrow. The boys, again, from the Sports Daily Hour of Power earlier on today, had a chat to Joe Pride. He's really happy with the way Private Eye is heading into this particular contest. 1 for 1 over the trip, 3 starts at the track for a win and a second, and has now got that fitness after a few runs back from a break. $9.50, certainly tempting from an each-way perspective. There's money there for Dallasan, as we said, $17 into $12. There's some nice horses at big odds here. A Tissue was a good performance last time out there in defeating Private Eye. In the Richie Stakes, even a horse like Cascadian, very enigmatic, it must be said. However, from time to time, when it gets the right run, bobs up in races like this.
Exactly, the race for Cascadian, we will see him win at blowout odds. You can understand the support for Riadini. Last two runs have been outstanding at weight for age, having to carry the 59 kilos on both occasions, was narrowly beaten, Think It Over, and then that form line we speak of around Very Elegant was beaten less than a length at weight for age. There, drops down to the 51.5 kilos. Rachel King in the saddle, push forward around the mile there at Randwick, sets up perfectly for Riadini. No strong push from my perspective. Maybe I'll jump on the Joe Pride bandwagon with Private Eye. He made the good point that probably the races his preparation haven't been run to suit for Private Eye, who does get back, but in a Group 1 mile, we'll know there'll be tempo, especially at handicap level, and Private Eye has a nice turn of foot and the luxury also of 51 kilos.
Indeed. I'll tell you what, you've got a job on your hands trying to find this quaddy tomorrow at Randwick, punters. I'll be trimming the last leg right up, but the first three legs, hooly dooly. It is very, very difficult indeed. We'll round it out with a third of the group ones. It's the Heineken Metrop over the 2,400 metres. And here we see Montefilia at $6. Opened up at $5, so it's been out at full point. Entente $6.50 and firm. She's ideal, $6 to $7. Zarek's been backed at big odds. This has been a good go. $23, now into $8.50. So, yeah, that is a good go. No compromise, $15 to $11. Great House, $16 to $13. Luncey's, $26 into $13, halving the quote. Attorney, $15 to $14. Harpo Marks, $15 to $17. All other runners, $26 and upwards in the Metrop.
Like the Epsom being at handicap level, Shorty, typically the Metrop, they can bob up at any old odds in this sort of race, but I'm with Montefilia just riding on the wall, third up, looks ready to peak, 2,400 metres. Hopefully that wide draw means Hugh Bowman won't get stuck in any sort of traffic, will be strong at the end of 2,400. She's just put the writing on the wall in her first two runs back and deserves a win. She's run third, first up, second up. She ran second. So hopefully, if that pattern continues, she'll be winning on Saturday.
Nice, yeah. I can see that you were very, very swift when it came to putting the combinations together in the mathematical department as a younger man there, TC. I like the way you're trending.
Maths was all 3-2-1. I think I would have got a lot higher grades than what I actually achieved.
Like the way that you've worked that in there. Very nice. Look, one thing I'll say about Montefilia, Dave Payne, excellent trainer. He have a rock-hard fit for this race, and you know that at the back end of proceedings, will be hitting the line. So, yeah, Montefilia, great, great each way play from our man TC in the Metrop. For me, I've got three bets on the program. Going to kick off early. Race 2, number 2 in Coolangatta. This is a group 3 for the 2-year-old fillies. Peter O'Neill just absolutely firing right up with a mighty red V for the South Fremantle Bulldogs this weekend.
He's got a lot of waffle sides, that man.
Yeah, he loves it, Pete. Yeah, he's right on top of his game. Back to race number 2 on the program, the Keeneland Gymcrack Stakes, group 3 for the 2-year-old fillies. James McDonald teams up with Coolangatta here for the Kiramar Dave Eustace establishment. I was watching a couple of programs through the week, and the wraps on this filly are pretty significant, and they showed the barrier trial. It was very impressive. Looked to have plenty in store, and looks to be a real jump and run filly. I think she can make a winning debut if all the wraps are bang on, and I would expect them to be so tomorrow. J-Mac will give it every possible opportunity. Race 2, number 2, Coolangatta. We then move on to race 5, number 1, Think It Over. Well, Think It Over, absolutely the beneficiary of Very Elegant coming out here. Think It Over has come back in splendid form, returned in the Wink Stakes, beaten 0.6 of a length behind Moonga in that blanket finish, was then able to win the Chelmsford Stakes, and then last time out was beaten less than a length in that race behind Very Elegant in the George Main. Super form lines coming in. What price would Very Elegant be in this race? Very, very trim, you'd expect. We're getting black odds, Think It Over, around that even money. I'm happy enough to throw it into a couple of my multis tomorrow, so I think he'll be hard to beat. I do have respect for number 8, Duas. This horse is coming off a placing in the Cameron. On that occasion, really did hit the line late. It was very much an eye-catching performance, and if Think It Over is not quite on top of its game, Duace for me is a huge, huge threat. I think they'll be running 1-2 in this particular race. Race 5, numbers 1 and 8, but I'll lean towards number 1. Think It Over, getting the job done with those excellent form lines. And then in the last, race 10, I think this is up there with the better bets of the weekend, Gravina. Gravina is a galloper that's coming off a placing last time out behind Triple Ace. What I do like, it has won second up in the past, and it loves track and trip. Couple of tries, won on both occasions, in great hands with James Cummings. Rachel Kings continues to ride in great form, gets in nice and light, just 52.5 kilos here, second up into the preparation. I think we'll see the best of Gravina, and I think it'll be too good for the rest of them. Race 10, number 12, Gravina, one of the better bets of the weekend.
I'll just throw one more in there, Shorty, to go along with Mallory and Montefilia. I'll jump on board Rothfire. Just a little asterisk as to we need to wake up on Saturday morning and have a look at the weather report, because Rothfire's hit a good track on 7 occasions, won on 6 times. Isn't hopeless on a soft track, but clearly chances go up if it is a good track. I thought the run in the shorts last time after almost more than a year off, in fact, was very good on the soft track on that occasion. Chased home Eduardo, and also Nature Strip was in that field. Mars Crusader is your $2.15 favourite. The way he's been leaving the gates since getting to Sydney, I think you'd be a thrill seeker to want to be taking $2.15 about Mars Crusader. Rothfire, we know what we're going to get. Nice, tough galloper will be up there somewhere in the first 3 or 4 in running, and hopefully give us a good sight. Should be naturally take improvement from that first up run in the shorts. Now the 1200 of the Premier Stakes. I like the $3.70, and Rob Heathcote's a very good trainer and gave a good report on the horse this morning.
Welcome back to the Tab Touch Punters Power Podcast. David Short and Taylor Courtland with you. TC, we've got the Waffle Grand Final to look forward to this weekend locally. We just mentioned Peter O'Neill getting around in the South Fremantle jacket. He's up and about, Pete. Look, I'd like to be. I try to be as unbiased as possible when it comes to these sorts of things.
And don't be silly. Don't do it.
Oh, look, I'll be cheering hard for South, and I hope they win it. But I watched that final a couple of weeks ago. Subi jumped them in the first half. South Frio finished the game off quite well, but to be fair, the air was out of the game. Subi, when the heat was in the kitchen, they stood up and they had South's measure on that occasion. They've been a powerhouse in our waffle competition over the last decade, Subiaco. They head in 142, 280, the Doggies. Line betting sitting at 14.5. We have got some Simpson Metal betting action. I can let the punters know that the effectively 60% of the book at this stage has come for two players, Lee Kitchen and Greg Clark. They've both been dead set cave-in jobs. Kitchen 7 into 550 and Clark 8 into 550. So they're really well backed at the head of the market there. Sokol's gone the other way. He's out to $8.50. Sleuth firm at $7.50. Matty Parker back from Richmond playing the finals campaign for South Freo. He's at $15. Lockie Della Hunty at $17.21 for Jacob Dragovich, along with Harrison Marsh. It's 26 and upwards from there. I hope the Doggies can get the job done, but if form holds up, TC, Subi may be a touch too strong.
Yeah, they've been very professional over the last few years, and we also have an NRL grand final on this weekend, Shorty. Sunday, 4:30 kickoff. Penrith Panthers at $1.68, South Sydney at $2.25. Our man Sal, a little bit perplexed as to why the market's so far apart. Penrith, they've been extremely tough through the final series, but points have eluded them. They've won in arm wrestle, grinded out type games. South Sydney maybe have too many points in store for them.
Maybe. I think, look, if you're a neutral, I barrack for South Sydney, so I'll be cheering for them anyway. But
big weekend.
Well, it might be time to hit the top shelf too, unfortunately. they're both going in as outsiders, the Doggies and the Rabbits. So I'm hoping for minor miracles in both of them. But look, I think if you're a neutral and you just want to have a bet on the game, I don't think there's a lot between them on what I've seen throughout the course of the season. Penrith were huge to knock off the Melbourne Storm last week. I honestly thought the Storm were good things to win the title this year. So Penrith, I guess, feather in the cap to knock off the side that had been running hot for a significant period of time. But you raise a really good point in relation to the Rabbits' scoring power. Penrith defensively, though, set up really well. They're a hard side to score against. So I don't think there'll be a whole lot between them, and I'll be having something small on the Rabbits for a bit of an interest in the NRL Grand Final on Sunday night. TC, NFL, geez, there's been some wonderful games since NFL's return. Great to see the crowds back, and the Friday morning game's been on today, of course, on a Monday morning. We always get to see that game and the highlights from the night before, and Tuesday as well. So it actually works out okay that you get three morning games over here in the West that you can watch live, and the highlights, of course, are running pretty much all day Monday with all the different games. Interested to get your thoughts on the early trends. I was mentioning off air at a seven-legger rolling, and had the six legs arrived, and of all the teams to let me down, it was the Chiefs, the current Super Bowl favourites, that let me down last weekend.
Yeah, they've made a disappointing start of the season, Kansas City. They just have not been able to stop any offense whatsoever. They find themselves in a game against Philadelphia, who were shocking against the Dallas Cowboys last week. So at $1.30, if you can trust the Chiefs, and I think you can trust Patrick Mahomes, I think they'll get the job done there, but probably doesn't tell us too much against a side in the Eagles that have a lot of young, talented players that are sort of rebuilding at the moment. So it won't tell us too much about the Chiefs there. Your Bills, they've lit up the scoreboard again. They'll do the same against the Texans. They're $1.05 against the Texans. Maybe at Buffalo Bills, maybe take the total points for the Bills over in a game if you're wanting to be investing around that. But
it's a fat line, 17.5 points.
Oh, you don't see that in the NFL too often. 17, that is a lot of points. I'm going to play just one straight out bet on Minnesota. Speaking of scoring power, their offense has been firing early in the season. They take on the Browns, and a packed Minnesota stadium. They get about in excess of 70,000 there. So I think home ground advantage plays a big part in the NFL this year. I think the Vikings as outsiders at $2.15 are worth just, I'll be having a straight out bet. If you like to throw them into a multi, do so. But then a couple of favourites I think will get the job done as well in San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. San Fran to beat Seattle, the Packers to beat Pittsburgh. If we combine them, we get $2.23. So I'll be having those two separate bets, straight out the Vikings and then multiing up the two favourites I like at half good odds, the 49ers and the Packers at $2.23.
And if you're really brave, you can throw the Vikings in with San Fran and Green Bay and get just under $5.
I tried to do that last week and it came back to bite me on the you-know-what.
Spread it out. If you get one of them, you know that there's something in the account the next morning. Just spread it out, spread it out. 80% as is and just a little cheeky little 10 or 20%. If it all rolls in, nothing like having a great big bit of cream just jump onto the cake late in the piece there when you get the roll-up factor through a few of those legs. Coming from the man that was knocked out in the seven-legger by Kansas City last week. Really, really good cream that proved to be. TC, cricket-wise, there's a bit going on over in the IPL. That's returned. We're not that far away from the T20 World Cup. There's debate in relation to what's going to happen this upcoming summer with potentially English players not wanting to quarantine, and the ramifications for some of the matches this summer in the Ashes are fairly significant, because there's a couple of high-profile English players that have mentioned they'd probably be happy to stay home if those quarantine rules were still in place. And a similar scenario, I guess, with the Australian Open, with the tennis right now. So we're in a little bit of a sticky situation with some of our key sport over the next few months. Welcome back to the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast. That is almost the final siren. Time to drill down for our lock and rough multis for this weekend. TC, we're both being a little bit chicken this weekend when it comes to our lock multi, but
tough weekend.
But the lock is all about putting in put in takeout scenario, and we've both done that. We're getting black odds when you combine the two. So I've gone to the 4X Gold Kalgoorlie Cup Country Race 8, number 3, Media Baron, The Place.
I've gone to Flemington in the fifth event, number 1, Ingratiating The Place.
So both places, punters, bear that in mind. Country Race 8, number 3, Media Baron. Melbourne Race 5, number 1, Ingratiating. Both The Place, $2.10. Locking that up this weekend.
If you go to Subway and want a 6-inch, hopefully we'll be able to make that a foot long. Double your money.
There you go. Turn a Pam Shriver into an Ayrton Center. There's a little bit of Copperfield magic there.
David.
Yes. Rough for me, sticking with the horse that's got excellent numbers, as we've alluded to, second up there at Flemington. Race 8, number 5, A Maid. 11 the win, 350 the place. 4 starts second up, 2 wins, 2 seconds, 1-for-1 at the track. Juicy odds.
Give A Maid strength so then we can cheer home. Randwick, Race 9, number 8, Montefilia.
Combine the two together and it's the old Kenny Calendar special. 66, the old 66 schmackaroonies for every dollar you place on there, and combine the two to both run into a place $7.87 this weekend. So Melbourne Race 8, number 5, Sydney Race 9, number 8, 66 the win, $7.87 for that multi this weekend. TC, flat stick from here. You got plenty on for the remainder of the weekend?
No, quiet weekend this weekend, Shorty. Don't have too much going on. But next weekend, obviously, we get back to Ascot. And
yes,
from then on, sort of wipe out every Saturday up until the end of the year. You'll know where I'll be.
Holy dooly, that is. Well, you'd best get plenty of rest, because that's about 12 straight Saturdays of complete debauchery in front of you. What a wonderful opportunity that is. Great racing. Before we know it, our summer carnival will be here, the Tab Touch Masters as well. That sneaks up on us when these spring feature races start to arrive, TC. You'll be out there trackside lapping it up with the great posse of mates you have out there. Every time I catch up with you out at the races, you've got some good people around you, much the same as at the start of the program, Sean Paul. You surround yourself with good people and gives yourself every possible chance in life, don't you?
I think Sean Paul's friends give him a lot more than I get from my group of friends.
Probably they wouldn't be giving you the same commission that
Sean the royalties Paul, aren't quite the
not,
same.
Not quite there, but it's all about love, and you're getting plenty of that from the punters. TC, as always, great catching up with you, and to everybody tuned in, thanks, as always, for your company. Enjoy this upcoming weekend. Go and fill those boots, back plenty of winners, and a reminder that quaddy carryover tomorrow at Flemington races 6, 7, 8, and 9, and additional super picks races 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Kalgoorlie, Randwick, and Flemington. Good luck, punters. Have a wonderful weekend.